Hey, welcome back. It's another episode of the Commander's Brew, coming at you from my living room studio recording booth. What is a living room anyway? Where does the... I really want to be accurate when I describe this to you, but like, where does a living room end in the dining room? Remember dining rooms? Who has a dining room? A room to dine in. I guess that just has become... Okay, well, now I'm all stuck thinking about what a living room is. So you dine in the dining room and you live in the living room. That's where I do all my living, right? I got a living room, I got a laughing room, and I got a loving room. That's the badge. I guess if there's a living room, laughing room, and loving room, that would have to be the bedroom. What is the laughing room? What's the best? The living room, I mean, wherever you watch TV, if you watch comedy programs, I like to watch comedy programs. I like to laugh at the television. I mean, it's all the living room. The living room has become the dining room now. Maybe the kitchen's the laughing room, because that's where if you have guests, you end up, little small gatherings usually end up with little kitchen parties. I don't know, is that a Canadian thing? Is that everybody? Everyone just hangs out in the kitchen chatting, I guess because you have access to the faucet, so you can drink unlimited water. I don't know. Brighter? Maybe it's brighter. People want to see each other. I don't know. I remember when there used to be restaurants, and we would like the lights to be dim, as if we didn't want to see anyone else, like we were the only ones there. Truly, when we were surrounded by people, we wanted to not be aware of them. But now, what I wouldn't give to be in a crowded restaurant. Not true, not true. I wouldn't want to be in a crowded restaurant right now. Don't feel comfortable. But I don't want to talk about that. I want to get back to the loving room. I do like that discovery. That's fun. I should get a pillow embroidered with a version of that somehow. Who knows Martha Stewart? If any of my listeners know Martha Stewart, I got an idea for some merch. Does she still do merch? Is she still in prison? Ooh, I don't know. I think I saw a commercial with Martha Stewart for TikTok. Yes. Yes, she's on a TikTok commercial. I'm not going to claim I know anything about anything except maybe some commander cards. But what is going on? Here we go. And these ads, by the way, the reason I know Martha Stewart isn't an ad for TikTok is because sometimes they play it for me if I watch Twitch. I'll throw up some Twitch sometimes in the background while I'm working on other things. I just tend to... Is that good? Is that bad? I put a lot of noises and podcasts and things around. I don't really work well. Ironically, I think I focus better. Maybe I don't. Maybe I'm lying to myself. Anyway, on Twitch, I've seen an ad with Martha Stewart in it for TikTok. I have also seen an ad for World of Tanks. What is World of Tanks? I don't know. I assume some dumb phone game. But apparently enough people play it that they can afford Arnold Schwarzenegger in their ads. It blows my mind that these little phone games... And I the statistic is that 1%... All of one, like 99% of all the income comes from like 1% of the users. So that means there's enough people playing that 1% of them can afford Arnold Schwarzenegger to be in an ad. That it can't be cheap. It can't be cheap. They got him popping out of a prop tank and he says, "Get to the chopper. The tank," like he like changes his catchphrase for it. Meet me on the PC. I have a special gift for you. I don't know. Am I giving them free money by giving you the ad copy? I don't know. It just blows my mind. There are some aspects of this world we live in that when you delve too deep into them, it truly drives you mad. So sometimes I just kind of, I'm going to float back, take a couple steps floating back away from that one. Just leave that one alone. I won't think about it too much, but I will think about how grateful I am that you're listening to this. Thank you for listening. Truly do appreciate it. If you'd like to support us, go to patreon.com/commandersbrew. There's lots of ways to do it through that. I mean, one main way, you sign up, you donate. But through that, you get perks, you get into our Discord, find out how to do that there. There's other ways, though, if you'd like to. I'm going to let you know just in case. Like and subscribe on YouTube. Nice podcast app, 5-star review. Helps us get into more ears. That's ultimately the best way to help. Word of mouth. Best advertising there is, according to a marketing class I took in grade 10. Is that still true? I don't know. Maybe it's TikTok ads starring former action heroes. If you want to buy Magic cards anyway, why not use our TCG Player Link? We get a little slice of that. And if you're a Canadian listener, we will get you actual money off your Magic singles by going to the Wizard Tower. Let's hear an ad from them now. We're proud Canadian podcasters, and we're proud to be sponsored by one of Canada's premier card stores, the Wizards Tower, wizardtower.com. And Canadian listeners get an exclusive coupon code BREWCRIMSON to get 5% off any order of singles shipped to you for free as long as you've ordered $15 or more in singles. And you can check out our deck list for this week's episode and other episodes we've done on their content site, mtgcanada.com. And remember, at a vampire wedding, RSVP stands for Red Suits, Vampire Pals. Okay, let's get to this deck tech now. This is Essex Fractal Bloom. If you missed it, I'll encourage you to go back to our Creamies episode, where the award show, the Creamies. Essex is one of the shenaniganiest cards. It won the honor for the most shenaniganiest card of 2021. And here's what it does. Oh, truly shocked that we've not dealt with this before. But Essex Fractal Bloom, 4, green, blue, legendary creature, fractal, flying, 4/4. Here's the good stuff. The first time you would create one or more tokens during each of your turns, you may instead choose a creature other than Essex, and you may make that you create that many tokens that are copies of that creature. Couple things I want to point out is that's insane. This deck seems so good. There's so much potential with this commander, so it's almost hard to think about where to begin. But for this deck tech, I want to take you a bit of a brewing journey, a bit of a like, how did we get to the places we got to? There really is a fascinating, I find it fascinating, phenomenon with brewing up a deck where a few decisions lead to the next decisions, which lead to the next decisions. And if you change a couple of them, you kind of have a whole different deck. But you can go a bunch of ways, obviously. We're going to want to make tokens, and we're going to have cool creatures to copy. That's essentially what it is. But this deck has green in it, and any deck with green has a million options for ramp. And you might think that we would want to ramp in a way that also uses tokens to play into Essex's ability. Something like Awakening Zone is famous for this. 2 and a green enchantment at the beginning of your upkeep, you may create a 0/1 Eldrazi spawn that you can sack for a colorless. Great. It's a token. It works with Essex. However, we're not running Awakening Zone. We don't want an automatic one single token in our upkeep, because Essex triggers once the first time we make a token. So if we have Awakening Zone, I mean, Awakening Zone is a may. Well, now that I'm thinking about it as a may, maybe there's room for it in the deck where we use it to ramp to get to Essex. And then when we're there, we don't go again. So I've already taken back my own deck tech here, where I probably do want to run Awakening Zone because it's a may. Another card that probably comes to mind when you're thinking about making a ton of tokens on all at once. It's an excellent card in most decks. This is Arachnogenesis, not running it. 2 and a green instant, put X, 1/2, green spider creature tokens with reach into the battlefield, where X is the number of creatures attacking you. Prevent all combat by non-spiders. So Essex only triggers on your turn. So you can't be attacked on your turn. So this actually will not do anything for Essex. It's just sort of a fancy fog. I don't hate it in the deck if you want that type of effect, but it doesn't play into the synergies. Don't expect to use it. Now, we do have a creature like Prosperous Pirates in the deck. 4 and a blue for a human pirate. That's a 3/4. And when it enters the battlefield, it brings 2 treasure tokens. 2 treasure tokens. So before Essex is out, we can use this as a ramp creature to get us 2 more mana. And once we are at 6 mana and we have Essex, we can cast Prosperous Pirates. This is true of all creatures we cast while Essex is on the battlefield that make tokens. So Prosperous Pirates comes in as a 3/4, wants to make 2 treasures. Essex says, hey, instead of 2 treasures, how about 2 more of any creature? We can pick Prosperous Pirates. Now, these ones will make treasures. So we'll make 2 more Prosperous Pirates, and each of those will bring 2 treasures. So we've got 4 treasures now and 3 bodies of Prosperous Pirates once Essex is on the battlefield. It only really cost us 1 blue mana. It's only a net cost of 1. We got 4 treasures and 4 mana back from it, essentially. A little bit of a rebate. But we're probably not going to do that if Essex is on the battlefield. Another example of this that we're more likely to do in this case is Deep Forest Hermit. 3 green-green for an elf druid with vanishing 3. So every turn you take a vanishing counter off, and this thing will disappear after 3 turns. It's a 1/1, but when it enters, it brings 4 1/1 green squirrel creature tokens, and squirrels get +1/+1. So we're going to make the first one. It's going to bring 4 tokens. That's a ton of tokens. Essex is going to be like, hey, do you want 4 copies of something? Yes, I do, please, Essex. Thank you. I love you. You're the best. Can you give me 4 more Deep Forest Hermits? Essex says, no problem. Here you go. Now we've got 4 more of these, each bringing 4 more squirrels. So now those new squirrels won't copy. So we have 16 squirrels and 5 Deep Forest Hermits. So that makes 16 6/6 squirrels. This is great. The Deep Forest Hermits will disappear eventually, all of them at once, and the squirrels will shrink down. But that is an impressive board for quite a number of turns. Okay, so for Essex, sequencing matters. It matters a lot, and it matters how you brew it up. Essex costs 6. That is a ton of mana for a commander. And stuff only really gets rolling once you have your commander. So we need a ramp, and we need a ramp early. Our early game is going to be tons of ramp. And like anything else, we've got so many more choices for ramp. I was looking at Awakening Zone earlier. Maybe, maybe not. We're going to look at our ramp options a little bit later once we get into more of what this deck's trying to do. Since Essex costs 6, I don't want to cast Essex right away with 6 mana and then wait for the table to come around and then try to do something. Your opponents have a very strong incentive to notice that, like, well, you can copy anything, so I'm not going to let Essex live. So that, and then it costs 8, and now you're really going to have a hard time doing anything cool. We want the shenanigans. So the goal is to cast Essex and then make tokens the same turn to give our opponents the shortest possible window to interact with Essex. The restriction I gave myself to look for is something that makes 2 tokens at the same time. I feel like we can do better than 1 token. You only get 1 instance. And I do want to clarify that the way Essex is worded, here, I'll pull Essex up again if you're interested. The first time you would create tokens during each of your turns, even if you blink Essex, we have some ETB creatures here that make tokens. It's tempting to blink Essex, blink other things. Even if you blink Essex, Essex knows that's not the first time you made tokens. Essex knows you've already made tokens, will not trigger. So blinking just doesn't work. I would have saved a lot of time brewing up this deck if I had realized that earlier. I mean, obviously, doubling season or parallel lives would be incredible in this deck if we were millionaires. It could work with Adrix and Nev, twin casters. It's about $6 now, but Adrix and Nev, twin casters, are a 4-mana creature with Ward 2, Commander, a legendary creature. And if one or more tokens will be created under your control, twice that many are created instead. Essex will see the twice. So obviously, this is a no-brainer. It's only $6 right now, and we watched Parallel Lives do this. Parallel Lives started at like under $10. Now it's like $50. What's doubling season? $100? I don't know. Adrix and Nev will get up because they double tokens. That is a hugely valuable thing to have. Simic, as opposed to only mono green, so not runnable in quite as many decks, but still, this will not stay $6. Get it now. Oh, hang on. I'm getting a call from Sean from 6 months from now. Oh, hello, Sean. Yes. No. Oh, Adrix and Nev is $20 now, 6 months from now. That seems a little high. Are you not? Oh, I tried calling Sean from 6 months from now. I got a busy signal. I hope the world still exists. I hope I'm not getting a busy signal because the world has ended. That would be creepy. Quick tangent on I'm sure this is a sci-fi story, but if you could like contact another time, but you were like, you called the future and it was like gone, you'd be like, oh, there is no future 6 months from now. That'd be a freaky time. I'm sure there's a story out there. I would love to read it again if I've already read it, or for the first time if I've only heard the premise. I'd like to read it if I invented it and someone already wrote it, but I didn't know about it. Anyway, so back to making tokens. Our first instance of tokens per turn, I want to do it the same turn Essex comes down, and I want to make at least 2 tokens, and I want to pay no more than 2 mana to do so. I think waiting until you have 8 mana with plenty of ramp is reasonable. It's a long time to not do a ton in Commander. We're going to be dropping little creatures. I'll talk about it in a second. But 8 mana is our big turn. So for 2 mana, what are the cheapest ways we can make a token? 2 tokens. Fists of Ironwood is a 2 mana enchantment, 1 and a green enchanted creature. And when it enters the battlefield, the creature gets trample. And you make 2 1/1 Sapperling tokens. Okay, there's our 2 tokens. We need a creature, but I don't think we're going to be doing much without creatures. And even if Essex is our only creature, we're happy to enchant Essex and get the 2 tokens. Remember, we don't have to copy our creatures. We can copy anything on the table. Verdant Command. It's a new one we were just given. It's 1 and a green for an instant. And you get to choose 2. We're most interested in the first option. Target player creates 2 tapped 1/1 green squirrel creature tokens. There's our 2 tokens for 2. And we get to choose 1 more of these. Counter a loyalty ability of a planeswalker, exile a card from a graveyard, or gain 3 life. I mean, those other ones are just nice bonuses. For 2 mana at an instant speed, that's pretty good. Sapperling Migration, not kicked. I mean, we have the option to kick it, but it's 1 and a green to make 2 sapperlings. If you kick it for an additional 4, you make 4 sapperlings. So, like, the first 2 cost 2, and the next 2 cost 4. It seems like too much. Like, we're getting a good deal on the front, but a bad deal on the back. It doesn't matter. We're never going to be kicking this. I don't think we would ever be in a position where we'd want to do that. It is interesting, though, that there aren't more ways to make 2 tokens for 2 mana in green. This is about it. I really am having a hard time finding that makes 2 more dumb little tokens. There are other tricky ways to do this, though. We had to look deeper. However, I do want to close off one dead end right now, though, and that's Wave Sifter. It's 3 green blue for a flying elemental. It's a 3/2, and when it enters the battlefield, you investigate twice, make 2 clues, and you can evoke it for blue green. So in my mind, I was like, oh, I can just evoke this for 2 and then make 2 clues. That's 2 investigates. However, the way the rules of Magic will work is what it's really saying is investigate, investigate. 2 separate instances of single investigation. So you will make 1 token once and 1 clue that can't be a copy of anything. Wave Sifter, you're out. I thought we had an awesome find with Hard Evidence too. It's a single blue for a sorcery. Create a 0/3 blue crab creature token and investigate. Yes, we're making two tokens with this one sorcery, but since it's on separate lines, again, the game will process this. You'll kind of do, we can infer this from the rule how, like, if a card has a lot of effects within it as part of its resolution, all of those effects happen in order, but they are separate, but there's no opportunity to interact between them. It's kind of like you can't stop this little package. Same thing with Hard Evidence. We get two tokens, but they come one at a time. So instead of a blue crab, which is the first one, we get to copy something, and then we get an investigate. I mean, if that's all I have, that's fine, but I don't want to put this in the deck. It's just not worth the slot if I can't reliably get two copies off of it. So there's some ways that don't work. Another way we can get two tokens for two or fewer mana, Bucknard's Everfull Purse, two generic for an artifact. Do you know what this does? I have not thought about this card. I think I'm sure I read it, but I've forgotten about it. It's Bucknard's Everfull Purse, two generic for an artifact, and it has an activation of one, roll a 1d4, and create a number of treasure tokens equal to the result. The player to your right gains control of Bucknard's Everfull Purse. So we can potentially make four tokens for a single mana. I mean, there's a chance we'll only make one, but I think I'm willing to take that chance. The thing you got to think about is you have to have this, obviously, to use it the turn Essex comes down. And if it has not made its way around the table, then you just can't use it. And I do believe it's an interesting card. I think if I use it and I make some treasure and ramp myself, the next opponent who gets it for free is probably going to use it too. I think it will make its way back to me eventually, but I don't think we can count on that happening before Essex comes out, so I don't think we're going to run this one either. Witch's Oven. Now we're talking. Single generic for an artifact. Sack a creature, make a food. If the sacrifice creature's power is 4 or greater, then we make 2 foods. Tapping this costs nothing except sacrificing a creature. So here's a way. If we have Witch's Oven and another 4 power creature, we can cast Essex on 6. And then for no extra mana, create 2 token copies of any creature on the battlefield that isn't Essex. That's good. I like that. And then we started digging, and we thought about Convoke. Scatter the Seeds is a 5-mana sorcery. It's a 5-mana instant, but it's got Convoke. So as long as we have at least 3 creatures on the battlefield, Essex is allowed to count as one. So I can cast Essex. And now I only need 2 other creatures to make this cost 2. If I've got 5 creatures total, including Essex, I can play this for 0 mana. Here's another instance. If we've got a lot of creatures, that we can cast this earlier than projected by getting Essex down when we have minimum mana, tap 5 creatures. So now, okay, I do have to highlight, there is one more Convoke spell that makes tokens. Can you believe, though, this just 2? There is only 2 spells that have Convoke in the Simic identity that make more than 1 token. There's a couple that make a single token, but these are the only 2 with Convoke that make 2 tokens. Scatter the Seeds makes 3. There is also Feral Incarnation. It's a 9-mana sorcery with Convoke that puts 3/3 green beast creature tokens. Since we don't care what the tokens are, I don't want to pay that much more mana to just make bigger tokens, because guess what? They're not going to be beasts. They're going to be whatever they are. 9 mana. I don't expect to have 9 creatures out by the time I land Essex, so especially on turn 6. So no, Feral Invocation, you pass. But this is worth it. I think Scatter the Seeds is worth it enough that now I want to talk about ramp. I put a pin in the ramp discussion. Pulling out that pin. We're going to talk about it now. It makes more sense now to use creature-based ramp. If I can get creatures early, they can count for Convoke. And I'm going to choose something different. I'm not going to necessarily only choose Llanowar Elf types of things. I'm looking at creatures that pull a land out of your deck and put it into play. That's a big thing that I'm a fan of here. So there we go. We've got our ramp covered. We've got some of our tokens. But what are we copying? That's kind of where the fun comes from. There's no shortage of cards that do cool things that we can copy. But with our game plan, they need to cost 5 or less, because I want them on the battlefield before I cast Essex. I don't want them to cost 7 or 8 mana, because then I can't cast Essex and then make my tokens until way later. I mean, you can make the argument that's like, if you're not going to cast Essex until you have 8 mana, why not something that costs 7? You're right, that's a possibility. But we were looking 5 and below to start with. And we found a couple of mean things. You can make this deck with a little bit of a mean angle. Acidic Slime is certainly one way that would happen. 3 green green, Death Touch 2/2. Destroy, when it enters, destroy an artifact, creature, an artifact, enchantment, or land. I mean, if you're making a bunch of Acidic Slimes, you can take out someone's mana base almost entirely. That's so mean. And I would consider it. Similarly, Rishadan Brigand. Okay, we all know Acidic Slime, but we might not all know Rishadan Brigand. 4 and a blue for a flying human pirate. 3/2. I'm a Beck of Brass Players. You know of Rishadan Brigand. It's a flying 3/2, and when it enters the battlefield, each opponent sacrifices a permanent unless they pay 3 generic. It can only block creatures with flying. If I make a bunch of copies of this, there's no way. They're, like, maybe you can afford to pay it once, but like my opponents are sacking 6 or 7 permanents. Again, that's not as mean as Acidic Slime because they get to pick. If they're not a token deck, they're going to get punished hard. But if they've got a ton of little trinkets and things, maybe this won't affect them too much. But that's a fun thing to make a bunch of copies of. Another mean kind of one is Junkwinder. It's a new card they gave us. It's got affinity for tokens. It's 5 blue-blue, but since we're making a lot of tokens, I suspect we can cast it for less than the 7 price tag. Whenever a token enters the battlefield under your control, tap target non-land permanent an opponent controls. It doesn't untap during its controller's next untap step. Essex makes token copies. So if we make a couple Junkwinders, we'll have 3 Junkwinders that each saw 2 tokens that happen to be Junkwinders appear at the same time. So that's 9 triggers of non-land permanents tapping and not untapping a turn. That can freeze out an entire player's board, creature and artifact wise. So mean, very mean. So once we started doing some digging, one of the most interesting creatures that is very tempting to copy multiple times is Deep Glow Skate. 5 mana for a fish, 3/3, and when it enters the battlefield, double the amount of each kind of counter on any number of target permanents. Okay. There's not a lot of stuff in Simic that has some sort of ETB where if we copy it, it won't do much beyond +1/+1 counters. But this Deep Glow Skate is like, well, why not? Why not play +1/+1 counters? Because this looks amazing. If you've got a few counters on things and you're doubling all of them, that's incredible. And if I may paint the picture, if we're making multiple copies of Deep Glow Skate, we're going to double counters, double it again, double it again, double it again. This is exponential by making a few tokens. So now we got to look at +1/+1 counters. There's no shortage of them in Simic. So obviously, Renata, Cult of the Hunt earns a spot in the deck. Every creature enters the battlefield with an additional +1/+1 counter. Love it. Ivy Lane Denizen, whenever another green creature enters the battlefield, put a +1/+1 counter on a target creature. That's excellent. Now that we're looking at counters, another copy target costs 5 is Roll Escapex Hybrid. It's a 4/5 flying trample for 5, and when it enters the battlefield, you put 2 +1/+1 counters on any creature you control. Another one, can't be Rolesque. And when Rolesque dies, you proliferate, then you proliferate again. You might be thinking, well, Rolesque is legendary. You can't copy legendaries. Uh-huh. Rolesque has a death trigger, so you can copy him. Copy him a couple of times, and then you let them die. So you get the counters to go on things and you get all those proliferate triggers. That's 4 proliferate triggers off of 2 copies. But if we're making more copies, that's way more triggers. This is one I'm happy to copy, even though they won't live around very long. You can start to appreciate how every deck decision kind of informs other decisions. Now that we've got Deep Glow Skate and the possibility of multiple copies of it, I had to look at planeswalkers. Are there any planeswalkers worth doubling the counters on? There's actually a few that work quite nicely with what this deck's already doing. Zheng Yang Yu is just great in the deck. 2 and a green for a 3-mana planeswalker. It only has one ability that you get to put a +1/+1 counter on a creature, but all your creatures with counters become mana dorks. They get to tap for any color. This is another way we can get Essex out on 6 or earlier by turning all our early creatures into mana dorks. This is partly why I referred to not using Llanowar Elves as opposed to the creatures that tutor up lands, because now they can become mana dorks after they've already given us the ramp. You can't turn a Llanowar Elf into a mana dork. It only does the one thing, but we're kind of double dipping this way. Kiora, Behemoth Beckoner, is another planeswalker that I like running in this kind of build. Two new hybrid Simic. Whenever a creature with power 4 or greater enters the battlefield, you get to draw a card, which is great, and you can untap a permanent, which is another kind of ramp. Does great. I haven't mentioned any planeswalkers that have brutal ultimates, because there aren't that many that have the most brutal ultimates in blue-green. I'll leave that for you to explore. Put your favorite ones in there. So remember how earlier I told you how great Witch's Oven was if we have 4 power creatures? This +1/+1 counter theme ensures that we will have 4 power creatures to sack when Essex is out. It just makes Essex incredible. In fact, this artifact, the Witch's Oven, is so good, I think it becomes worth it to run a Trinket Mage in the deck. It's the blue creature that tutors up an artifact of mana cost 1 or less. And now that Trinket Mage is in there, we got to start looking at, there are other 1 mana or 0 mana artifacts that are worth it? Something that makes tokens? Like something that makes more than one token at once? Hold that thought. We'll come back to it in the budget report of all places. So we're looking at a dense, dense deck full of creatures. And since we're looking at creatures that bring up lands, I'll highlight a few. Sakura Tribe Elder, Commander Classic. 1 and a green for 1/1. You get to sack it to search for a basic and put it into play. Very cheap, very effective. I'm running it in the deck. It doesn't stick around, so it doesn't get to wear +1/+1 counters as well as ramp. That's unfortunate. But someone like Coiling Oracle, similar, different, also effective. Green, blue, Snake Elf Druid, 1/1. When it enters the battlefield, you're going to get one of two things. You're going to reveal the top card of your deck, and it's either a land, and you're going to put it into play, or if it's not, you put it into your hand. And Coiling Oracle's big brother, Risen Reef, same thing basically, except Risen Reef triggers anytime an elemental or Risen Reef itself enters the battlefield. This one's mighty copyable. Kind of like with Junkwinder, if you make a few copies of Risen Reef at once, they all see an elemental enter the battlefield at the same time, and they're all gonna trigger. So you'll get several ramp points. How many lands are on the top of your deck? You'll get those out in play. You'll draw a couple. I don't know if we want to copy Arisen Reef, but that's an incredible one to make multiple copies of. And the decisions just keep cascading, because now that we're filling up the deck, it's densely full of creatures. I'm going to want to run a Vile Spawn Spider. It's blue-green with a 2/3 for reach. At the beginning of your upkeep, you mill a card. It's probably going to be a creature. But since we have so many creatures, our graveyard's going to get full of creatures. And you get to sack Vile Spawn Spider for 2 blue-green. That's more expensive than 2. This is more likely to happen once Essex has been around for a little while, or if we just do a ton of ramping. Sack Vile Spawn Spider. Create an insect creature token for each creature card in your graveyard. Activate only as a sorcery. There's a way to get a lot more than 2 tokens and a lot more copies of some brutal creatures. So now the deck is full of creatures. There's a few artifacts, there's a few planeswalkers, but it's densely packed with creatures. Now we have the luxury, we can afford to run something like Golgari Grave Troll. This is the 5-mana troll skeleton. Starts as a 0/0, but it enters with 1/+1/+1 counter for each creature card in your graveyard, and you can pay 1 and remove a counter to regenerate it, but it also has Dredge 6. I was testing out some games. This is not ideal, but you can cast Grave Troll with nothing in your graveyard and it immediately dies, but then you can dredge it next turn and have 6 cards in your graveyard to have it back in your hand. That's a lot of spinning wheels for getting 6 cards in your graveyard, but now it's going to be a lot bigger, And his buddies, we're running some buddies of the Golgari Grave Troll. Moldgraf Millipede. This is just brand new. It's card just came out. It's a common 4 and a green for an insect horror, 2/2. And when it enters the battlefield, you mill 3 and you give it +1/+1 encounters equal to the number of creature cards in your graveyard. This is potentially very big. And similarly, Golgari Raiders, it's a 4 mana haste, same deal, +1/+1 encounters for each creature card. The haste is nice. And then to a lesser degree, but also fun to copy, cards like Ghoul Tree. It's a 10/10 for 8, but it costs 1 less for each creature card in your graveyard, potentially a single mana. I'm happy to copy Ghoul Tree a bunch of times and get a bunch of 10/10s. And Nemesis of Mortals is another one that gets cheaper with creature cards in the yard. 4 green for a 5/5, but it could cost 1 less for each creature. And it Monstrosity 5s for 7 green, again, reduced by 1 for each creature in your graveyard. So Nemesis of Mortals, green to cast, green to Monstrosity 5, and we've got a 10/10. Costs a lot more than Ghoul Tree, but this one's got counters on it, so we can start doubling those. And then one more. Again, in the context of this deck, this might be my favorite one. Galloping Lizrog. 3 green-blue for a 3/3 with trample. I love that it has trample, because when Galloping Lizrog enters the battlefield, you may remove any number of +1/+1 counters from among creatures you control. And if you do, put twice as many counters on Galloping Lizrog. It's like its own Deep Glow Skate. If you make 3 of them at once, they'll all hit the battlefield. All these triggers go on the stack. The first one can pull any or all the tokens for all the +1/+1 counters from all your creatures and double them. The second one can pull those doubled tokens, can pull those doubled counters off the first one. And then the third one can pull those doubled counters off the second one. So you're like exponential growth. This last Galloping Lizrog has got to be like 100 in like huge. And it's got trample. So like, you know, whoever you end up swinging at will die. I don't need to tell you, haste is crucial. And unfortunately, this is one of those things. Just haste doesn't come cheap money-wise. Concordant Crossroads would be amazing in this deck. But it's $50. It's just too much. It's just too much. I mean, I would love it, but... And you, so like whenever you think to yourself like, oh, this deck really wants haste, pseudo haste is the way you can, like, you can think of it like haste if you can give your creatures flash and cast them on your opponent's end step so that they untap on your turn so that they're able to attack. Unfortunately, you can't do that with Essex. You can't do the shenanigans because, if I need to remind you again, Essex only works the first time on your turn. So if you do this on someone's end step, you're only getting tokens. You're not getting multiple Galloping Lizrogs. So unfortunately, Concordant Crossroads, you're just too expensive. I saved the best for last. Is it Winmore? I don't know. But you know we're filling our graveyard full of creatures. We're milling ourselves. I mean, let me paint that picture going back to the Moldgraf Millipede. If you make multiple copies of it, each one... mills 3 and then gets counters, so each one following gets even bigger than the one prior, so you can get a giant board, and every turn you can use Witch's Oven to sacrifice one, which will definitely be 4 power, to make 2 more Moldgraf Millipedes or whatever you want. But the best creature in the deck once you get rolling is easily Kessig Cagebreakers. 4 and a green human rogue, 3/4, when it attacks, create a 2/2 green wolf creature token that's tapped and attacking for each creature card in your graveyard. We have a lot of creature cards in our graveyard, probably. So just by attacking, it costs us no mana. If I've got Kessig Cagebreakers and my graveyard's getting full, I might consider waiting on Essex until I can cast Essex, go to combat, attack with Kessig Cagebreakers, and make what, 6, 8, 10 copies of something that aren't wolves, and they're tapped and attacking. I think I gotta look that up on the rules. That's one thing I'm not clear on. Nonetheless, 10 Deep Glow Skates. Do you have something with a +1/+1 counter on it attacking? If you're making 5, if you make 5 Deep Glow Skates, you can do the math by like 2 to the power of 5. Off of a single counter. So even if something has 1 counter on it, it's going to get 32 extra counters from five of those things. Oh boy, the shenanigans abound. I love this deck. Shenanigans card from the creamies for good reason. I gotta thank some of the Discord helpers. Chiefy, Neomaxis, Papa Dio, Ghee Pizza, Groove Chicken, some of the big helpers on this one. If I left you out, I'm so sorry. I'll get you next time. But whew, deck's fun. I cannot wait to crack this out, try it out on Commander Night. Shenanigans. That's should be the other name. If Commander was taken, this format would be called Shenanigans. Let's get to the budget report. Not that expensive. $105 TCG mid, low of $56. That seems very reasonable. The most expensive card in the deck is Azuri, Claw of Progress. Not surprised. This is the commander when they introduced experience counters. So every time a creature with power 2 or less enters the battlefield, you get an experience counter. And at the beginning of combat, you put a +1/+1 counter on any creature you control equal to the number of experience counters you have. You know, we've got things like Deep Forest Hermit, all our little mana dorks. Like, we've got ways of making a ton of little tokens before Essex rolls around. So we can potentially add a bunch of counters to things. I mean, there's a world where we just make giant creatures anyway, and we're like, I don't even need Essex yet. I'm attacking you with such big things. You've got to deal with them now, or that's my game. But this is a $10 card. Feel free to cut it. Okay, second most expensive card is Time Stream Navigator. This is a $6 card. This is a single copy because we have the potential for an infinite loop. It's a 1 and a blue, human pirate wizard, 1/1. And as long as we have 10 or more permanents, we have the City's Blessing, then we can pay 2 blue-blue and tap this card to take an extra turn and then shuffle this to the bottom of your owner's library. If we have Essex, we can make a single copy is enough, a single copy of Time Stream Navigator, then sack the first one to take an extra turn. And as long as we have some sort of engine to make a token per turn, we can make more Time Stream Navigators and keep sacking the ones we copied, like the original, because it will not be, they won't have Summoning Sickness anymore. And we can basically do an infinite loop. So I snuck this one in. It's a single card, $6. I think that's fair. Here's another. Okay. Okay, remember earlier I asked you to think about other 0 or 1 mana artifacts that make multiple tokens? Hangerback Walker, XX. It costs 0 in the library, so Trinket Mage can find this. Enters the battlefield with X +1/+1 counters, and you can pay 1 and tap to put a counter on it. But if Hangerback Walker dies, put X, it doesn't say X, but my brain shortcuts it. You put in the number of Thopters out equal to the number of +1/+1 counters on it. So we need a sack outlet, and this deck is light on sack outlets as I brewed it up. But Hangerback Walker is another way to make a lot of tokens at once. So something to think about for sure. And I was surprised to learn it was only $5. This is the cheapest it's been in quite some time. So there you go. There's the deck. I dug pretty deep to find some cool cards worth copying. Some cool creatures that weren't just +1/+1 counters. But if I missed one that you're thinking of, let me know in the comments, please. I'd love to hear about it. Thanks, gang. See you next week for another wild deck tech. Bye.